the music of Johnny Hickman. Welcome to another episode of Out the Rabbit Hole here on KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. We're also on the web at KUCI.org. I'm Robert Larson. This is our February 10th, 2011 edition of the show for 11 p.m. on the clock here in Irvine, California. Before we get fully underway, I have a couple of quick reminders for you. First of all, the opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the KUCI staff or management or the UC Board of Regents. And if you want to give me some feedback on the show, I always appreciate that. You can email me at rglarson@kuci.org. You can also catch me on Facebook. That's facebook.com/rglarson. Well, we've got plenty to talk about today. We're going to break down some of the things going on in the news, giving you a little bit of a more out the rabbit hole perspective, and talk about some other issues. And one of my favorite on-again, off-again, semi-regular guests is with me today, and she wears a few titles around here. And first of all, program director of, you've been noticing our program is improving over the last couple of quarters. There's a reason for that. And also the host of the show, Rachel Ray's Cooking Accident. Heather McCoy, welcome to the show today.
Oh, thank you.
It's always good to have you. And yeah, I would like to say I have been hearing a lot of good feedback about the way things are being put together here, the way we have the program programming organized. And you want to tell us a little bit about your thoughts of where you're going with that, or where you have been going?
We've been kind of just going in a different direction and trying to get more unique shows on the air, and I think it's working out pretty well. We have Radio Internationale that's on every Tuesday or every Saturday 2 until 4, and it's North Korean and Russian communist music, and you don't hear that and on any other radio station in Orange County or in LA County. So we've got that. And then we have Yosayab, which is Bollywood, modern Bollywood music. So it's not just in a time capsule from way back when. It kind of stays up with current current trends in Bollywood. And so we've gotten a lot more diverse in our programming, and I think it's starting to pay dividends. So.
And where else but KUCI can you get that type of variety? And I know that you're very passionate about radio in general. That's one of the ways you and I have connected. And, you know, just having a feel for how most of the radio out there has been sucking pretty hard for some time, although there are great people out there that we're both fans of, or people that we're maybe not so much fans of what they do, but fans just because they're inadvertently funny.
Yeah. Well, the sad part is I was fooling myself, but I was really hoping HD radio would take off more, and I was hoping also that some of the big radio providers like Clear Channel and CBS and I was hoping they would like sublease their HD channels to other companies that want to make money using HD. But most of the time, HD radio, I think KLOS at one point was just replaying Mark and Brian 24 hours a day on their secondary HD channel. It's like, why do I want to spend the extra money for that? You know, it's bad enough they're on once, and to put it on over and over and over again on a loop, that would be kind of scary. So I was really hoping for HD radio would kind of give you more diverse programming, but it's not quite turned out that way.
Well, you're at the right place to be able to do the things that need to be done, and I really appreciate your passion and, you know, what we're able to do here at KUCI, and your belief in taking that to the best place that we can take that. And let's talk a little bit about your music show that you do. That's 8 to 10 p.m. on, Tuesday
night show.
Rachel Ray's Cooking Accident. And if somebody tunes in 8 to 10 on Tuesday night, what are they going to hear?
I don't even know. The point of Rachel Ray's Cooking Accident is a lot of entertainment, even the entertainment we would quote-unquote alternative, a lot of it is extremely well-branded. And so when you stick in, like, Pearl Jam disc, you know what you're going to get, and there's not going to be surprises there. And even you know, Britney Spears or Lady Gaga or Bad Religion, they're really in the heavily branded music. And so I've been a marketing major at times, and my show is kind of like on-branded completely. And so There's a few people that call on my show and go, oh, you have an awesome show, and then they don't call back next week or ever again because I'm not playing country. I'm just going off on some weird experimental, like, electronica that I've just felt like playing. If I stick in one genre too long, I get bored to tears. So I just, it kind of, the show reflects my personality, and so that's kind of what Rachel Ray's Cooking Accident's all about. In a nutshell, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so if you like musical surprises and stuff that's generally not what you'll be hearing on commercial radio, well, that's pretty much all of KUCI.
Yeah.
But you're going to get some surprises on Rachel Ray's Cooking Accident as far as might be country this week, might be electronica.
I think it would make the KCRW crowd like swallow their tongues, like they couldn't quite deal with it. I don't think I'll be hosting Morning Becomes Eclectic anytime soon, because my show goes just too all over the place. So
yeah, well, it's enjoyable. So yeah, okay. Well, one of the reasons I want to have you on the show here today, and is, you know, we talk a lot of politics, or as some of my friends like to say, parapolitics, things sort of loosely related to that, sort of like,
yeah.
Whoa, some people might call that conspiracy theory. But anyway, and you always have really good insights about all of this, and we have so many great off-air conversations. It's nice to be able to share it with the listeners now and then. And so what has been striking you lately about what's been happening in the news? I know we always get a kick out of talking about right-wing politics in America, and anything sticking out there?
They're just so goofy. Like, I wish CPAC would branch off in the CPAC East and CPAC West so I can actually get a media badge and cover this insaneness. Like, I think if Hunter S. Thompson was still alive, he would just be, you know, mortified and intrigued with these people to no end. So, I mean, I know that your show deals with alternate reality quite a bit, and that's definitely a CPAC convention right there. They want to deal with a reality where there's no regulations, and then if you're wrong, you sue. And so the court system is just, I don't, and that's more of the libertarian strain of conservatism, but like I still don't see how you just don't overwhelm the courts with just lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit if you have no, you know, federal regulations and just want to take your grievances to court if somebody, you know, makes a product that gets you sick or what have you. And that seems to be the libertarian worldview, and it just, and to some extent the Republican worldview, and it just seems insane, quite frankly. And
well, yeah, and I think it's actually worse than that. I know what you're saying, that this sort of libertarian worldview of free markets and deregulation and the government isn't there to protect you, but if you're hurt, you sue. But I think that's a strict libertarian.
Yeah.
These CPAC people and the right wing in this country, they don't even want you to have a real strong ability to be able to sue.
No.
Karl Rove and some of the groups he's been involved with, they always have these
tort reform.
Yeah, you knew where I was going. These euphemisms, and it sounds nice. Tort reform. Wow, there's abuse going on there. But what that really is about is taking away your right as a citizen who has been wronged by a more powerful entity to be somewhat on an equal playing field with them, because you can get a lawyer, a really good lawyer, who you could not otherwise afford, but this lawyer is going to work for you on contingency because you have the possibility of winning a huge award. And they want to do away with that.
Yeah, and I mean, that's how a lot of our legal system works. I know in my case, when I had to go through the workers' comp system, my attorney got, I think, maybe 10% of my reward. So it wasn't a lot of money, but I mean, it was still like I wouldn't have been able to hire him otherwise. And just because Karl Rove, they keep trotting out tort reform as a word, like, there has been a lot of tort reform already. Like, I was informed by my attorney that my case probably would have settled for around 40 to 45 grand if it was in 1990 or 91. So, I mean, there's, you know, that's about double what I actually got. So there's been a lot of, like, tort reform, and they just want to take it further.
Right, and I agree with you that we don't want to have a situation where you're forced into having to sue to get taken care of. We'd like to have that done away with, but these guys want to just take it completely away so that, therefore, these guys are not regulated. They can abuse you. They can hurt you. And they don't have to pay any particular penalties, and then you can't take them to court either.
What's crazy is, I forgot what news show did this, but they actually took a little meter and went around Lowe's, and some of the home improvement materials, like floor tile that comes from China, some of that has like some really toxic stuff in it, and then that just gets sold right on our shelves. And so to get reimbursed for harm done afterwards, the harm shouldn't have been done in the first place. And so I would rather have more regulation in front, and then healthier people as a consequence, and really sick people, and then having a bunch of people sue each other. That doesn't seem
right.
That seems really counterproductive.
Right. Yeah. I think you and I both agree that we don't want to take away the right of people to sue, but we don't want it to be a situation where that's their only
recourse.
And it's such a hassle and so bass ackwards and so expensive for everybody.
And the other thing I think from CPAC, I was listening to a little bit of their conference today. A lot of it, I just can't get over how it's kind of weird. It seems like it's getting worse after September 11th, but I just can't get over how much anti-Muslim sentiment is out there, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. I was tuned into a right-wing Christian radio station on the way here for a little bit, and they have these paranoid fantasies about the Islamic law rule, put as Islamic law,
Sharia law, going to be introduced in the U.S.
They're like, oh, it won't happen nationwide, but it might happen to a couple cities, and it's just extreme paranoia, and it's just really bizarre. And
as if that has more likelihood of happening than weird Christian fundamentalist beliefs being put into law.
Yeah, I think the Christians in this country outnumber the Muslims by quite a bit. So I don't see how Sharia law is going to be, and I don't see how that's ever going to become a reality in any American city whatsoever. But they're just going on and on and on about it, and I'm sure that's the case at CPAC too. And it's crazy. I mean, it's just like, I when we were talking about radio, and I was listening to Phil Henry a little bit last night. Phil Henry and Dennis Miller kind of exemplify the point. But I think Medicare, we should have, if George Bush was like a real leader, we would have had Medicare take care of like a whole lot of psychological issues after 9/11, because 9/11 fundamentally changed how Phil Henry does radio, and so it's fundamentally changed Dennis Miller to the point where they're both not funny anymore. And so I'm sure it's changed. I'm sure a lot of people are still coping with that 10 years later almost. And, nothing, we didn't create like a program to, get help for people. And all seriousness, I'm not joking, but I mean, I think we should have had like a national program to get help for people that dealt with that trauma, I think we're still living with that.
Yeah, people that just could not deal with that and bought the sort of lie that America is invincible and not vulnerable in any way, and that we are number one, and nobody should ever do anything to us.
And we can't make enemies, no matter how many dictators we have. Egypt, and no matter how many dictators we have, we can't make enemies, and it's just kind of this weird kind of behind like the curtain feel to the whole thing, where
you remember the question going around back,
why do they hate us?
Are you kidding me?
are you joking?
Shall we go down the list of brutal dictators we've supported and sponsored and armed all around the world? Shall we go down the list of coups that we've supported and overthrown democratically elected governments, where we sent in the Marines, where it just corporate interest trumping the rights of the people, and why we're outsourcing jobs from America now is because we can send those jobs to places where people are very much only a breath ahead of a slave.
Yeah.
So all, and those things are done in many cases because of the corrupt governments we support that don't allow people to organize for their rights and unionize and everything else that might make their lives more enjoyable, more livable. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Well, I'm always surprised about how, like, unions, even the strongest unions, like the teachers union and the NFL players union, even those unions are coming under attack now. And it's not just weak and kind of almost comical. I mean, well, it would be a tragic comedy. Like, my UFCW is kind of like a sad joke of a union, but, like, they're still a union. But some of the more powerful, more organized ones are, you know, coming under attack, and we're going to take away your retirement, and it's just incredible. And that's not really the big issue, you know. I mean, it's not the reason why we're not bringing in money. It's we have a recession going on, and it's, you know, they call it, they have that nice word, entitlement. And it's not entitlement, it's something you worked for and you signed up for when you got hired by that school, you know, the school board, or, you know, the whatever. So it's,
well,
just,
I mean, I think the word entitlement is actually correct. It's just that it's been sort of made into a bad word. Because you think about it, if you work there and you have a contract and this is what you agreed to, and they agreed to, that you were entitled to this, then you're entitled to it. And,
yeah.
But it's become, entitlement. That means you're a slacker who wants to, you know, live off of everybody else and not.
And they tied that word in the welfare and social security and retirement benefits for public workers. And those three programs are vastly different things.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's, I always think of the word like degenerate when I think of most of the Republican Party, at least their leadership, is most of them are just, it just seems like they have this evil, sick, like twisted, like worldview that is just kind of disturbing.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I think they get, and the Democrats are not immune to this at all.
No.
They're just not as bad, let's put it that way, and there are.
They're not as blatant about it.
But yeah, you do have these people, and I think there's just so much money rolling in from the corporate money that it's enabling. You might not be really that sick and twisted, but you have guys right there handing you all this money, writing all these checks, and giving you these talking points that you can kind of just go along with and not have to really think about how sick and twisted what you're doing is.
Well, when the Democrats, I think they were in control of Congress when they rewrote the bankruptcy laws to make them a little more draconian, and Barack Obama voted for that, by the way. They weren't. The Republican Party seems to take this extra special kind of twisted glee in the fact that they're doing something really sick and twisted, and that's kind of what makes them seem like they're almost sociopaths.
And I think they sort of like, they sort of half believe it too, and I think. I don't know. It's the Democrats
weird.
Just sort of, when they do go along with things like that, sort of know it's wrong.
Yeah, well, they're not boasting about it.
Yeah, put it that way.
They're not like, we're screwing you over, and you know it, and we know it, and we're just going to gloat on TV that what we just did. And
well, yeah, I don't see a Biden and Obama boasting about their votes on the bankruptcy reform law.
Yeah.
And trying to actually say that it's really a good thing for America. But
they just quietly do it and get their dirty work for, you know, corporate money done, and they don't just boast about it endlessly.
Yeah, it's a sad situation.
The Republicans are kind of like, an NFL player that dances in the end zone a little too long, and then it's just like, okay, you know, we got to throw the flag for too much celebration. But yeah,
I know exactly. This is Out the Rabbit Hole, KUCI in Irvine. Robert Larson here speaking with Heather McCoy. And Heather is the program director here at KUCI. So if you have been enjoying the programming that we have been putting on here, where can they show their appreciation? They can email you, right?
Yeah, if you have any programming questions or anything, it's pd@kuci.org to reach me and say hi. So.
And also, and your radio show, Rachel Ray's Cooking Accident, 8 to 10 p.m. on Tuesday. Postmodernism is hard.
It is. I mean, like, if you think about the different genres of music, Hip-hop was invented 30 years ago, and punk rock was invented 30 years ago, and we haven't really had any big genre shifts. We've had a lot of different post-punk bands that have come along that to make interesting sounds, but there hasn't been something completely started from scratch in a very long time. So that's kind of why I came up with that.
Even the electronic stuff, that even harkens back to the 70s, doesn't it? I mean, with the stuff like Kraftwerk and things like that.
Yeah, but then with some of the with the newer computer technologies, some of the electronic music can go in areas that Kraftwerk could never take it.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, like, I'm like bands like Adult. I mean, you can hear the underpinnings of someone like Throbbing Gristle, but like Adult can take things to probably areas where Throbbing Gristle couldn't in the 70s. So electronic music has more areas to grow than like punk rock, but at the same time, it's still, we haven't had really a new genre in a very long time. And so I think that's probably one of the reasons, not just, you know, those kids and their you know, sheer peer-to-peer networks or whatever that are downloading music, that's kind of tanked the industry. If you want to hear something that you got to get excited about, and the only thing that I think really moves a lot of people to get excited about is, you know, like Sex Kittens, like Katy Perry. And and I think that's one of the reasons why the music industry is in like the deadpans right now, and they're just, you know, it's not doing so hot.
Yeah, I like the Katy Perry videos. Just turn the volume off, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I have to clip it out of a 60 Minutes piece, but she was talking about being critically important, and she just does not, she's not very bright. I mean, if you listen to her talk, she's probably one of the slowest pop stars that we've ever had. But yeah, so that's most of the reason why I host my show the way that I do. I just look for like new extremes of something new, and then I usually throw in, like, I have a soft spot for like 3-chord power pop, or power pop. So I have a few of those songs in there too. But
yeah.
So
I think we were weren't we listening to the Muffs off the air the other day? And
yeah.
They're pretty interesting band.
Yeah, the Muffs and then the Murmurs were, I like them a lot too, and they're an older power pop band from the 90s. And then I can't ever remember her real name, but she played Alice on the L Word, and she later became an actress. And I think she's in a band called something like Oh No It's Her or something. I forgot the name of it off the top of my head, but so yeah, that's kind of the show. But
well, okay, let's get back to some sort of political issues here.
Yeah.
So we were talking about, you know, why these people around the world tend to hate America and how we've supported all these dictators. And of course, it comes clearly into focus with the situation in Egypt now. And it's just maddening when you hear some of the things being said by American politicians, you know, all the way up to the president and the vice president and secretary of state. And you know, it's like, it's time for Mubarak to go. Well, was it really time for him to ever be there in the first place? I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's just, okay, well, maybe he was doing some of the national security bidding that the United States wanted, but I tend to think it was more just doing the bidding of the corporate interest. But, you know, there's something I read a couple days ago, and this was about that they have their secret police or whatever they're called there in Egypt, and they routinely torture people. We know this. And there, some of these guys, it's come out now, I guess things are from a WikiLeaks cable, that they had gotten training from our FBI. Well, you know, isn't that just lovely that we can boast that these guys who are just total thugs, we're training them, and we can say about America is so pro-human rights. Of course, nobody believes that now after George Bush was president.
Yeah, that kind of,
we legalized torture here at home. But, you know, it's just maddening when you hear those kinds of things.
Yeah, it shouldn't be too surprising that it's something where you hear that and you shouldn't be too shocked, because, I mean, we were the country that ran School of the Americas in the 80s for, you know, South American, you know, despots that just came over and, you know, tortured their own citizens and put in extreme right-wing fascist movements in Latin America. We trained them right there in Georgia, you know, and so to hear that the FBI was involved with the secret police, even though I didn't know that till you just told me, doesn't, you know, doesn't surprise me. It's not like a heart stopper there. I know some of the tanks are tanks, and they just have Egyptian writing on them, and so and the Egyptian flag. So I mean, it's really, I don't know. I get really upset with Obama because if he really wants to be the transformative president that he said he wanted to be, like a Ronald Reagan, he needs to just fess up to saying, you know, they have our military hardware and, we're not selling them anymore. I mean, he should make a harder stance because I have a big fear that, like, I don't know the situation in Egypt, but it doesn't seem to me like, from what I've read so far, it doesn't seem to me like the resistance movement has a plan about how to take power. They just want him gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, my biggest fear is that all the people that have been hurt and all the people that have stood up for themselves, they're going to get the shaft by, you know, somebody else with a different name, you know.
That's, meet the new boss, same as the old boss.
Yeah, kind of that situation. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's just maybe we just don't get that type of news here. But I'm certainly hoping that they have a plan for... I hope the resistance movement has a plan for itself once it gets into power, because if it doesn't, you're just going to get somebody with a different name.
Right. I would like to see some sort of democracy come into being there, and not an extremist Islamic government, and and hopefully something like a Truth and Reconciliation committee they had in South Africa, where you don't have just a bloodbath going the other way.
Yeah.
And I don't know, but it's...
Well, they're starting to disappear, some of the resistance movement. I heard yesterday that one of their Egypt's most popular bloggers has disappeared. So I think the government takes this seriously, and they're not just going to... I think the crackdown's coming, and it's just a matter of time. And it's now... It's like, what's the response from us? Like, you know, I want to kind of have the... you know, the natural course of things happen in Egypt, you know, stay in Egypt because it's none of our business. But at the same time, we kind of made it our business because we supported them for 30 years. So it's kind of a weird kind of hands off, but we can't really have hands off because we've had hands on for 30 years. So it's kind of like a really weird position to be in. And
we know American intelligence is involved there one way or another. I would be absolutely shocked if that wasn't the case. And like you, not really shocked that we were training the torturers. But remember Obama's Cairo speech? When was that? A year, year and a half ago?
Yeah, it was actually an amazing speech.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And so some of the things that are happening now, you're thinking, wow, just the fact that they were kind of supporting Mubarak, does that make that empty? Or maybe you can look at it like, okay, maybe it wasn't that easy to get rid of Mubarak, and now that you people... Egyptians want to get rid of him, we're not going to completely stand in your way. So, I mean, is it kind of, do you think some Egyptians maybe heard the Cairo speech and saw that as a little bit of a wink and a nod to, like, okay, we're still supporting this guy, but if you decide you want to get rid of him, we'll not stop you?
Well, I don't know specifically about the Cairo speech, but I do know that one of the groups that's as part of the demonstrations, I think I don't remember the exact day in March, but they're called like the March 4th movement on Facebook or what have you. And I think that started around a labor dispute, and it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And I'm not sure how much the Obama speech emboldened them to take their own steps and, throw off the repressive regime or not. But it couldn't hurt.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like you said, it was a great speech, and most of the things he was saying in there, you know, like, wow, that's really a big deal for an American president to be saying that.
Yeah, some of the stuff he was saying, especially around Iran in 1953, that's something only, like, someone like Noam Chomsky would ever say, and, you know, saying how we overthrew that electedly democratic government, and so it was a shocking speech when I did hear it.
Right, and it's sort of like when you hear that, and then you see so many of Obama's policies going along to get along and not really changing the policies of the past, it's frustrating because it seems that Obama has that in him somewhere. He at least understands it.
I think he understands it, but it's just, I think the Supreme Court made his job a lot harder with the Citizens United case because the lobbyists are kind of the middlemen now and they're not being used as often. You can just directly pour money in the elections and sway them. And so I think he knows what he needs to do, but I think he's kind of looking out for his presidency too. So he's just kind of nibbling at the edges. I mean, he did reform the student loan program into something that would be almost single payer. I mean, there's no bank. It's a guaranteed loan from the federal government, but somehow the bank was skimming off the top and charging a little bit more interest, and so he took out the middleman there. So, I mean, he seems like he knows what to do. It's just, it seems like there's a lot of opposition in every direction, and we just kind of have to, you know, get active and change the paradigm so he has room to do this stuff that we probably imagined in our heads that he would do.
Mm-hmm. Well, and do you have any ideas right now of things we can do to sort of like make it where Obama might feel emboldened to do those things that we thought were at least in him somehow?
I do know there's a big march on Washington that from the left, and it's an anti-war demonstration. It's sometime in March. It's bad on me that I don't remember the date exactly, but there's things. I mean, you could write your senators and speak out, and then just get active. I'm exploring. I haven't explored enough, but I'm actually exploring a Democratic run myself to take John Campbell's seat in my district. He usually runs pretty much unopposed, and so it would be kind of fun to do. I have the odds stacked against me because a lot of his district is in Newport Beach, and those folks vote, and so I don't know if it will work or not, but I'm kind of looking into that at the moment. So I mean, you just get involved with whatever party you feel comfortable with and kind of just take it back from the interests that have it now.
Well, let us know how that develops, and we'll
I have a friend actually that ran against Dana Warrenbacher, Ken Arnold, and so I need to talk to him more and see about how to run it under the Democratic Party. Being who I am and being as radical as who I am, I can either get a lot of swing votes from, you know, John Birch Society people that kind of agree on weird points, you know, because Dennis Kucinich has some weird points or the right wing actually agrees with.
Yeah,
them.
Yeah.
So I might be able to get some of those votes, and then I might get some independents, and who knows how that would work. But I'm definitely looking into that. It'd be kind of a fun thing to do. Just why, you know, it's like, you're only here for 70 years, maybe, so I kind of have a philosophy of why the hell not.
I like that. Well, you know, I'd like to see some more things of, like, what we see people do in Europe, these things like general strikes. And, yeah, there's just
those would be cool.
Things that are just so freaking outrageous that we are just allowing this to happen, and people just don't seem to have a clue, or if they do have a clue, just
don't
do
care.
Not seem to care. So, yeah, we somehow got to get this organized. I don't know who we got to get with.
I love how the French, if you mess with their pensions at all, they're going to have a general strike within, like, 2 days. And mm-hmm. I think that would be great here. It used to happen during the 30s. Like, there used to be general strikes in San Francisco and all sorts of cities that would just shut down because they weren't going to take it anymore. But as connected as we are on the internet, we just can't seem to get connected in that way. We just want to share, like, cute pictures of cats and babies. And it's just like, come on, this is better. We've got to make better use of this and that.
Play Farmville on play,
yeah. Oh, Lord. But anyway, so, yeah. Yeah, it's just really disappointing we can't do something like, you know, our grandparents did. But, oh, well. It just doesn't seem like we have it in us. It just seems like...
Yeah, I don't know. What is the reason for that? Just so much complacency. And is it just because we have so many things to entertain and amuse ourselves with? Is it because we've been divided and conquered? Because, you know, if you think about it, you mentioned John Birch and Tea Party people. And some of those guys have things in common with you and I as more progressive people, but you know, we've been made to think that.
I mean, John Birch doesn't believe the Supreme Court has the ability to decide if a law is unconstitutional or not. And they, you know, I think it was Marbury versus Madison that kind of gave that Supreme Court that power. And the John Birch Society actually agrees with me on that. And it's a very narrow agreement, but and they'll say stuff like school busing, and then I'll say stuff like, Roe versus Wade would probably be decided by Congress in a few years if it wasn't by the court. And so, I mean, we would disagree on what cases we, you know, disagree with or what have you, but I mean, it's still a point that we agree on. So, versus left isn't a straight line. It's more of a circle. And then if you're more on the extremes of the, if you're on the higher point of the circle where you're quote unquote extreme left or extreme right, it seems like there's a lot of agreement there. Mm-hmm. And then the moderates are just kind of the corporatists that will just hand out, you know, subsidies to corporations all the time.
Well, I think there is like a real left versus right. I don't buy into that that's just completely fake and contrived. Yeah. But I think at times we get caught up in that when we should realize that it's really a class distinction. There really is class warfare going on.
Yeah.
And that we're getting our asses kicked.
It started in the 70s and we're getting our asses kicked really hard now.
Yeah, you know? And it's just like most of those, the Tea Party people, John Birch people, they're working class people. They're working class people. We're all working class. All of this has been taken from us, and it just all of the wealth has been shifted upward. And it's funny that some people, they don't see that. They see it the other way, that money is being taken from working class people and giving.
It's definitely weird because the top marginal tax rate used to be 90% under Eisenhower, and like if I bring up to my Republican dad that, oh, well, that's at least, I think the top marginal tax rate should be higher. He's like, oh, redistributing wealth, huh? Socialists. And it's like, no, that's the way it used to be. He's like, oh, class warfare. I'm like, well, they've been fighting it against us for the last 30 years. It's about time that we fight back. It's just really weird. The things they choose to emphasize is just kind of strange.
Well, yeah, there are the all of these buzzwords and these phrases that they often mean actually the opposite of what they are telling you.
Yeah, it is. That is absolutely the opposite. Yeah. So, anyways.
Yeah. So, okay.
I think since last time we talked, the NBC Comcast merger went through, and I was reading an article on on HighDefDigest.com, and they were saying that their economists project that Comcast subscribers should be looking forward to a higher cable bill. So, congratulations on more in action. So that's just we've got to get a president that actually believes the FTC has a role in breaking up companies and not allowing mergers to happen.
Yeah, it's just so many of these governmental regulatory agencies, they have really just become a joke. And
yeah.
It's like, what do they really do?
Yeah, I don't even know what the FTC does. My dad worked for Boeing at one time, and they merged their rocket launching capabilities with Lockheed. And then so they were cleaning up the house and, doing some repair work on it. And he's like, I don't know, this merger might not get approved and we're wasting all of our time. And I'm like, it's going to get approved. It's the FTC under the Bush administration. They don't see a merger they don't like. There's no question. It just seems like it's going to, I don't see why they don't just have rubber stamps and just stamp every document. Approved, approved, approved. I mean, what's there to look at? Because they just don't seem to oppose anything.
Yeah. And you talk about a lot of people who don't have a problem with that are people who say how much they love free markets. Well, it's not a free market when you have these super entities that don't really have anybody that can conceivably compete against them.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the things, it's one of the major principles I always come back to, is it seems like it's more feudalism than capitalism, where if you only have a choice between two companies, that's not really a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, these mega companies are so big that the old libertarian idea of if you don't like it, you don't buy it, that kind of gets thrown out the window because you can't help but buy it. Like, they're in every facet of your life. And so if you, like, if you have to have if you have to have internet at your house to look for a job, and if you don't like what AT&T did with their spying on Americans and having that room in San Francisco that sent things to the government, well, I mean, you have Time Warner, and they have a whole bunch of other, Time Warner's known for really bad service. And so, I mean, you can't pick a winner. I mean, at least when I shop for things that are monopolies and markets, it's just like, who's the least
objectionable?
Objectionable.
Well, it's like, well, we know it's not going to be Walmart. They're just the, incarnation of evil for X and X and X reason.
And so I ended up at Target.
Oh, but Target, don't they discriminate against gays or something?
Yeah, well, they supported a extremely homophobic congressman, I think, in Minnesota. And then they backed it out from that. But
so they're still slightly better than Walmart, because at least they backed away from that.
Yeah, and Walmart would just go full-fledged head first, because that's who they are. But when you do Walmart versus Target, you go, oh crap, I gotta go to Target. And so it's just really, I wish the economy, I think that's the reason why our jobs aren't coming back too, is you don't. I think I said this in the past, but when George Bush talked about his ownership society, I completely agree. We're not in an ownership society position anymore, because not a lot of people own their own stores, and there's not a lot of local businesses left. And as far as in a lot of sectors, and it would be nice if we can just downsize the imprint that Target and Walmart made and made room for actual, local entrepreneurs to take that segment again, because they just drove so many people out of business.
It's an ownership society, all right.
Yeah, it's just concentrated.
They own everything, yeah. and we're quite owned by them.
Well, not
because we want to be.
No, it's yeah, it's nothing consensual at all. Yeah,
own is actually too nice a word for what's really going on, but. We're just about out of time here, aww. Heather. I know it went by so fast, and we played a little extra music there to kind of get some things squared away, because actually we should probably mention this as well. Coming up, we've got a broadcast of Anteaters basketball?
Yes, men's basketball tonight.
Okay, and that'll be coming up at what time?
That's going to be coming up at 7.
Okay.
And so I'm looking at it. I think it's versus Pacific, but my eyes are kind of my eyes kind of jump around from distances, so I'm not sure who it's going to be against tonight, but it's men's basketball at 7.
Okay, so those of you who are fans of Anteaters basketball, it will be coming up at 7 o'clock. Heather will be here engineering that?
Yeah, so all the PSAs you hear, that's me. So
you pick the ones that are...
yeah, I pick the PSAs, so they're fun to pick sometimes.
Yeah, and some are a little better than others.
Yeah, some are better than others. But,
Yeah, okay, well, let's see. What do you want to leave us with? We've got about a couple minutes here before we have to go to our UCI medical moments. But what do you want to say about what's been just happening over the last week or so that people need to sort of be aware of?
I would say that right now I was reading... the San Diego Union Tribune, and it seems like Jerry Brown wants to take a lot of money from the a fund that does a lot of remodeling around cities, and then just put it into our core services. And I would say we need to lobby for a second stimulus so we don't have to make that choice, so we can build new things and take care of our services like teachers and firemen and all that stuff at the same time. So the state's definitely need a second stimulus. That would be what I would leave you with.
Okay, a second stimulus so that where either people are keeping their jobs or we're creating some new jobs, so money is circulating, money is being spent.
So you don't have to make a choice between do you want fire protection or do you want to do redevelopment? Because, both of them provide jobs, but a redevelopment project would actually employ people here. And so to make that choice between the two of them, it would be nice if we had a second stimulus so some of the states that are facing really bad budget disasters could do both. But
yeah, and so stimulus money that goes to actually creating jobs, so money is spread around, circulated around. This helps
the
economy.
And none of the stimulus is in tax cuts. That's the other thing. Zero. Because, so that's kind of the thing that's been annoying me lately. But
Yeah. And no more money going to the banks who just sit on it and count their profits and have watched their stock, shares go up, and don't create jobs.
Yeah.
Don't loan out the money.
Well, the other thing that I'm a little bit annoyed with too is redevelopment's nice, but you have to make sure that it's actually, needed. And so, LA is having a hard time paying its bills at the moment, LA County, and the AEG folks want to put a new football stadium there, and they want to tear down the old convention center, and they would pay the complete bill for the football stadium, but the LA County would have to pay the bill for the new convention center, and that's almost like, I think, $800,000, it's a lot of money, and so it just seems like we're getting fleeced in a lot of different ways. You just count them. If you just say Goldman Sachs, there's 9 or 10 ways you're fleecing us, so, but anyways.
I wish we had another hour to talk about that, but we don't. Heather McCoy, thanks for spending the time with us today.
I enjoyed it.
And Heather, program director here, they can email you pd@kuci.org.
Yes, that's my program director address, and I check it all the time.
Okay, so. And Rachel Ray's Cooking Accident, Tuesdays, 8 to 10 p.m.
Yep.
Okay, and I'll remind you all, once again, the opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the KUCI staff or management or the UC Board of Regents. And this is Robert Larson, Out the Rabbit Hole. I'll be talking to you next week. I'll let you know also that Matt Kaplan is coming up in just a few minutes to present his usual Thursday early evening fare of Counterspin and Planetary Radio. This is KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine, also on the web at kuci.org.